I think I'm the same height as Polo, so this works out pretty well. I'm Willie, I'm an alcoholic. Thank you, Mark, for asking me to speak tonight. I'd like to recognize anybody that did service to, you know, make this meeting happen. You know, as Polo illustrated, you know, it's important to do service. So, I think there's a lot that goes on behind the scenes that we don't necessarily recognize. And I love doing that kind of service. And so, thank you for everybody that pitched in, and Nick being the foreman of the meeting tonight. He's got a big smile on his face. I'll tell you a little bit about my story. I like to think about it in five parts. You know, we talk a lot about the three parts, what it was like, what happened, what it's like now. And for me, I think about it in five parts. You know, what was my life like before Alcoholics Anonymous? What happened to bring me in to Alcoholics Anonymous? And then what was my life like before I surrendered in Alcoholics Anonymous? What happened to make me surrender? And then what my life is like now after that. So I grew up in upstate New York, born and raised, you know. It's cold up there, so I eventually moved down here, you know, naturally. I think at a young age, I had my first, like, resentment that I can think about was my dad. I was, you know, probably 6 years old, and he got diagnosed with MS, and just really hard on me as a kid. I just didn't understand. Like, you know, I was a very angry little kid, and so I would just throw temper tantrums, and just didn't understand why the world was doing this to me, and I was so mad. And that kind of progressed. Like, it's been a long progression for him. So, and then at the age of 10, my mom she lost her job, and then she started drinking really heavily. So, you know, this is kind of the foundation of my life. And, like, I have these parents, like, they're amazing parents. Like, they do everything for me. They provide for me. They're there for me. But they have their own struggles that they're, like, it's creeping into, like, my life, you know. It was something that caused me to just want to isolate. Like, I just wanted to get away from, you know, what was going on with my parents. So I would hide out in the basement a lot. And, you know, at a young age, it's just like, it's just video games, right? You know, it's just like, you know, something harmless, you know, that's all I'm doing in my isolation. But, you know, as it kind of progressed over time, it was like, you know, started hanging out with the wrong people, you know, started, you know, smoking a little bit of pot, right? Like, you know, naturally, like, you know, at a young age, like, that's, you know, things I started to get myself into. I didn't get into a ton of trouble as a kid. The one thing I do remember is my mom went through a lot with her alcoholism, right? Like, she started drinking pretty heavily when I was 10 years old. And it's a progressive disease, right? So, you know, at first I didn't really notice it. Then it's like, mom's, like, missing. Like, I don't see her, or whatever it may be. Eventually over time, it was the jails, the hospitals, the institutions, right? So, you know, over the course of my young life, like, I'm really, like, seeing this firsthand. Like, I am front row seat to what alcoholism is. You know, and there's my mom, this amazing, wonderful mother, and then there's, like, this alcoholic. And I'm like, I can't distinguish the two people, you know? As, you know, time progressed, like, I kind of thought to myself, like, you know, I never want to be an alcoholic, you know, I never want to be like that, you know? I try to stay away from the heavy stuff, right? Like, you know, wasn't doing the hard drugs too much. Yeah, comes up, right? it's available, right? So, give it a try. So at a young age, like, I was starting to progress, starting to dabble, probably hanging out with the wrong people. I think the first real consequence, and, like, the biggest consequence I had in my life was I was 16, and you know, my grand idea, I'm like, all right, my parents are home, but I'm going to throw a party in the basement. Like, they're not going to know, you know, like, this is going to be a great idea. It was not a good idea. People come over, we're drinking, whatever. And at the end of the night, this girl was so drunk, she had to get carried up the stairs out to her parents' car. And it was like, this was just World War II. Like, it was, shit was going down. And I couldn't run from it, you know. Me being an alcoholic and pissed off and resentful and angry, like, you know, a couple days later in school, I was like, yeah, you know, I said some very profane words I won't repeat. But, yeah, and so the school ended up getting involved, and, you know, I got suspended, but, you know, I wasn't in a sports season at the time. Like, I played sports growing up, and so, I, like, you know, the summer came, and I was like, all right, I'm good. Like, that was the worst of it. I'm good. And then, like, first day of training camp for football, it was, like, the head coach. And you can picture, like, a head coach of a football team in high school. He's, like, this big 6'4", jacked, like, you know, I'm sitting, like, one-on-one across the table with this guy. And he's just ripping me a new one, like, just, like, you are the worst. Like, you know, yeah, just saying some very, you know, not nice things. And so that, I remember that moment being, like, he was like, if you get caught doing this, like, I almost got, like, kicked off, like, not allowed on the team. It was, like, this close. Like, something intervened, like, allow him to let me continue doing that. And it really was, like, a life-changing moment for me. Because if I had lost that and I didn't have that anymore, like, I don't really know where I would be. Football was kind of, like, my purpose. It was something that provided me an outlet. Like, I had all this anger, but I had somewhere to use it. So, yeah, I was very fortunate to, you know, still be on the team. And, you know, I cleaned up my act a little bit, right? Like, I wasn't hanging around with those people anymore. Like, I was trying to do, like, trying to be more of, like, an upstanding citizen, right? And no, no more parties in the basement, you know? And so, yeah, so time goes on, and, you know, I get to, it was basically a year after that happened. My mom's drinking had gotten so bad. She had went to rehab one more time. I can kind of dive into a little bit of that later, but basically, you know, she just, I don't know what it was. Like, I can't explain it. I don't know what happened. Like, I'm not in the assessing business. Like, but she passed away in August of that next year. So 2014, I was 17 years old. And, like, that was, like, a really defining moment for me. Like, I had, like, one of two directions I could go. I could just slip into, like, you know, absolute isolation and, like, just avoid everything and everybody, or I could, you know, be the man that my mom wanted me to be, you know? And so I chose the latter of the two, and you know, kind of really took a stance, and you know, tried to be who she would want me to be, right? And you know, again, at that same time, I'm like, I'm never going to be an alcoholic. I'm never going to be an alcoholic. and then, you know, again, I was like very moderate, like not heavy drinking at the time. And so, you know, life progresses. You know, I go away to school. I'm still playing football, so I still have that something like. Like, I still have a passion, I still have a purpose in life, and, you know, it's college, right, like, guys drinking all the time, and, you know, there was a few times where I, you know, blacked out, but naturally, I pointed to the cause of that situation, and it obviously wasn't me, it was the liquor I was drinking, and I was like, okay, like, I just gotta not drink liquor and I should be good, you know? And because I'm like, again, I like this mindset is drilled in me. I'm not gonna be an alcoholic. But, you know, and naturally I'm like hanging out with those people and that's what we're doing on a, you know, weekly basis or weekend. So, you know, it was beer for me, you know, no liquor. And around the same time, my brother, he started drinking really, really heavily. Because he and I went a different course after my mom died. He kind of, you know, slipped into that isolation. He struggles with a lot of mental health. And fortunately for him, he got sober in, I think it was 2017. So he's been sober for about 8 years now. And, you know, that'll kind of come up later. But he was, you know, here I am, like, kind of being an alcoholic, but not being an alcoholic. And so, like, you know, he knew all the tendencies. Like, you come around to AA for a little while, you're like, you could probably spot one when you see one, right? And so he's like, you know, but he's distancing himself, right? He's living the tradition and the principles of the program, like attraction, not promotion. He never pushed it on me. And, you know, around this time, like, I just really struggled to deal with conflict. Like, I could not sit and deal with, like, difficulties in my life. Like, if something happened at school, it was like, all right, I'm just going to run back home for a week and I'll be fine, you know? And so I definitely had this tendency to run away from my problems. But, you know, as time goes by, like, I graduate school and, you know, I'm not playing football anymore. So, like, I got nothing. Like, I'm purposeless, you know, like, I'm working a job, but it's like, oh, you know, this isn't really fun. Like, I want something, you know, that brings me enjoyment out of life, right? And that's when I started hanging out with people that like to drink and noticed that I really enjoyed that. And I was like, okay. And I'm far enough removed at this point from the pain of my mom dying that I start to forget that idea that I'm not going to be an alcoholic, right? Like, this idea starts to slip away, you know, and it becomes more fun, or, you know, more of a priority in my life to have fun, and drinking was the source of that at that point in my life. So, yeah, I, you know, starting to, you know, progress into what I am today, right? You know, kind of drinking more heavily, more frequently, and, you know, around that time, one of my buddies moved to Tampa, and I was like, well, you know, like, he was one of my best friends, and now it's not as fun here in New York anymore, so I think I'm going to move to Tampa, because, you know, and right in that time, like, I'm going through, like, difficulties in my life, and I'm like, well, what do I do when I'm struggling? I run away, like, let me get the hell out of here. So, yeah, I ended up moving down here, and just the wheels fell off, like, as soon as I got here. Like, it was just, I hit the ground running. It was like, there wasn't a chance that I wasn't going out on Friday and Saturday night, you know? And I was talking to somebody earlier about it, and I was like, when I moved down here, and I was hanging out with, you know, my friends who love to drink a lot, like, I started to, like, slip away from that idea, like, that I had set for myself. Like, I'm not going to drink liquor. Like, that's a problem for me. And so, you know, I start, you know, people earn shots, and I'm justifying myself. I'm like, well, I didn't buy the shots. So it's not like, this is an exception to that rule, right? So, yeah, I just, yeah, like I said, the wheels fell off. And I found out, this was the first time I found out, like, you know, I was probably like 26 this time. I didn't realize that drinking cured a hangover. You know, I was like, you know, it was just mind blowing to me. I was like, this is fucking awesome, you know? So yeah, you know, that kind of progressed as it may be. And so, yeah, I go through a few months of this, like, living down here, just like drinking, like, very heavily, very frequently. And I had some reservations about my behavior. I was, like, starting to notice it. I was very shameful. I was very guilty. I was like, man, like, I really shouldn't be, like, acting the way I'm acting. So what was my solution? Found a girl who was sober. I'm like, well, if I date her, then I'm not going to drink as much, you know? And, yeah, it didn't really work. So, yeah. So that relationship, you know, naturally an alcoholic who is sober and working a program, and an alcoholic who's not working a program and is not sober, do not really work well together. So I think it was like 4 months into the relationship, she was like, yeah, this is just not working. Like, I think we need to go our separate ways. And, you know, so at this point, like, I'm low on money. Like, I'm very shameful. I'm very guilty about my behavior. And when my mom passed away, I got this tattoo on my ribs, the Serenity Prayer. Didn't really, like, know exactly what it meant, but I was like, you know, it's kind of a cliche. Like, I think that'd be cool, you know? And so, like, I would come home from the bar, look myself in the mirror, and be like, man, I am such a piece of shit. Like, and so, you know, like, that's building up, like, this relationship. Like, I've just ruined another relationship with someone in my life because of my behavior. Like, a lot of my childhood, a lot of my college days, like, all of this, like, I'm just ruining relationships because I'm a narcissist. Like, I'm just full on self-will. Like, I only care about myself. Like, I just couldn't have a relationship with another human being. And so when we broke up, like, that day, I specifically remember, I was like, there was just this moment where I was like, there's no amount of drugs and no amount of alcohol that can take this pain away. And that was the moment where I was like, man, I really need to try something else. I that was kind of my surrender. And I want to read something from the big book that really, you know, when I first read it, it just really, really resonated with me. It's on page 25, and there's a solution. It says, if you are as seriously alcoholic as we were, we believe there is no middle-of-the-road solution. We were in a position where life was becoming impossible. And if we had passed into a region from which there is no return through human aid, we had but two alternatives. One was to go on to the bitter end, blotting out the consciousness of our intolerable situation as best we could, and the other, to accept spiritual help. And so that relationship for me was an example of, like, there's no amount of human aid, right? Like, here I am putting my reliance on a person to help me get me sober, and that's not working. You know, like, I had a therapist at the time. She's not going to get me sober. There's no amount of, like, people in the world that can help get me sober. It was, I had to find a different way. And, you know, having my brother who had been sober for, you know, 6-7 years at that point, it was like, all right, well, I know who to call, you know? So I call my brother up, and I'm just, you know, just blaring my whole life story at him, like, oh, I'm so sorry, you know? And so, like, he's like, why don't you try going to a meeting and just, you know, see how that goes? And so, so that was, like, that was the point where I, like, became ready to, like, at least give it a try. I went to a meeting with my brother previously, just, like, you know, he was just curious if I wanted to check it out, you know, again, because he's, like, seeing all of the signs, right? He's like, hey, you want to just, like, you know, come check it out? And he picked up his 6-year medallion that night, and I don't think I clapped. I don't think I was, like, I didn't recognize him at all. I was just like, okay, dude, like, you haven't drank in 6 years, like, what? Okay, you know? And now it's like, oh my God, you got 6 years? Like, that's fucking awesome, you know? So, yeah, we really didn't, like, care about, you know, anyone but myself at that point. And so I remember the first meeting I tried to go to, like, I'm like, all right, I'm really going to try this thing. So I go to this place where there's supposed to be a meeting. There's no meeting. And I'm like, well, okay, I looked online. Like, there's meetings all over the place at the same time. I'll go down the street. Same thing, no meeting. And I'm like, I'm really trying to do this, but, like, I'm just hitting these roadblocks. And so, you know, unfortunately, I get in touch with somebody, and I go to a meeting, and ultimately, you know, I go to this meeting, and it's just, like, again, it's my whole life, like, throwing up on you, like, just, like, I'm so miserable, I'm, you know, feeling so terrible about myself, and, you know, I remember this guy, he's, like, pulls me aside, and, yeah. Tells me this thing. He's like, maybe you're not an alcoholic. And I'm like, they're just like, no, like, I am an alcoholic. Like, I don't think you're, you know, like, I'm in the right place, you know? And I remember, like, having a conversation with my brother. It was, like, that night or whatever. He said the same thing. He's like, maybe you're not an alcoholic. And I'm like, no, I'm convinced that I'm probably an alcoholic, and you people are just driving me away, you know? But I get it. Like, I get the point of that, right? It's like, we have to really surrender. Like, we have to really give it all. Like, I don't know if I was ready in that moment, but I was willing to give this thing a shot. You know, I was in denial of the fact that, like, I needed all of this, but I was like, I want to at least try. And so, you know, I remember, you know, going through the first couple of meetings, and everybody says, do you have a sponsor? I'm like, no. And then so this guy, I'm like, all right, well, I guess I got to get one, so people stop asking me, or I could have the right answer to the question. And so, you know, I remember this guy sitting me down and, like, kind of explaining to me all this thing, like, how this thing works. And my expectations of Alcoholics Anonymous are, you guys don't drink, and I can be friends with you. So, like, that's my, you know, that's how Alcoholics Anonymous is. Like, we just get together, we're friends, we don't drink, you know? I had no idea, like, the encompassing, like, what AA really was at this moment. And when this guy sits me down, he's, like, explaining, like, all right, you gotta pray, you gotta read this book, you gotta do all these things. I'm like, whoa, like, I'm good, man. Like, I'm just here because I don't want to drink. and so, like, not realizing that I am the problem. It's not the alcohol, it's me. And so, you know, I'm still, like, in denial. Like, do I need all this? Like, I'm trying this, but I don't know if I need it, blah, blah, blah. And so, you know, I went through another couple of meetings, and finally someone was like, hey, man, you want to come to this, like, Phoenix event? You know, it's place where people don't drink. It's something fun to do. I'm like, that's me. That's what I'm looking for. And, you know, it was a good time, like, whatever. And this guy at the end, his name's Ari, you guys probably, a lot of people know him. He's a great guy. He asked me the most important question at that time at the end. And he was like, what are you doing tomorrow night? And it just so happens I was not doing anything the next night. Like, I don't have friends that don't drink. So I'm like, yeah, I would love to, whatever you're doing. And so he invites me to Saturday Night Fever. And I show up early, you know, talking to him, getting to know him. I'm like, oh, this guy seems like, you know, this is the kind of guy I would, like, want to be my sponsor, you know? Like, the first guy, like, great guy and all, it just didn't really connect with me. So, you know, I'm finally like, you know, okay, I think I, you know, want to work with this guy. Like, I think, you know, this could work out pretty well. And it just so happens at the same time, you know, Richard came up and gave me more about alcoholism. And I didn't really understand, like, the size of this meeting. Like, I saw the chairs, but I, like, didn't realize all those chairs were going to fill up. And so, like, I sit down, and I'm sitting next to Ari, and, you know, right before I walk up there, I'm like, do I have to tell him I'm an alcoholic? And he's like, yeah, it's it. And so, so I get up there, and, you know, again, like, before this, like, I'm just trying this thing, I'm giving it a chance, like, it's got a window, like, I have this window of opportunity where, like, I kind of want to try this thing, but I don't really want to dive in. And then I read more about alcoholism, the first two pages, right, and it gets to the part about the methods, like, we switched from liquor to beer, right, we didn't keep it in the house, we didn't drink during the week, like, we made all of these excuses, and that's why we weren't an alcoholic, right? And I'm like, it's just hitting me in this moment. I'm like, oh my God, like, this is exactly how I'm living my life right now, you know? Like, I'm justifying the reasons that I'm not an alcoholic, but the words on this piece of paper are explaining to me that I am. And so the man I was when I walked on that stage and the man I was when I walked off, I was wearing the same clothes, I was the same, I looked the same, but something had happened internally. Like, something had changed within me. And when I look back, like, it's the perspective change that we talk about in the spiritual awakening. Like, that's what happened at that moment. I finally surrendered to Alcoholics Anonymous. And so, after that moment, it was just like I hit the ground running. I was like, all right, what do I need to do? 90 meetings, 90 days, read this page 63 every single day, like, you know, we meet up once a week, then we go to the meeting. Like, I just was all in. Like, I just wanted it, you know? And it was just, like, I always give people that grace, like, because I needed that. Like, hey, man, just, like, come around, just hang out for a little bit, like, just kind of learn more about it. Maybe something will happen, you know? We talk about waiting for the miracle to happen, you know? And that really, like, that was a miracle, you know? Like, here I am, I'm completely lost without my sense of purpose. And then I find it, you know, in the most unique, like, weird way. It was like, you know, all I have to do is just say I'm an alcoholic and now I have purpose in my life. You know, it's like the paradox of that is just, you know, it's very unique. That's what I love about this place. And so, you know, through working the steps with my sponsor, we would, you know, read the book every week and, you know, what it would say, pray, we prayed and, you know, well, got into the fourth step, did the whole nine, you know. And through this whole process, like, what I realized, like, looking back, is that I'm just peeling away this selfishness that ran my life, you know. I didn't really know what God was. I kind of had an image of a higher power, and, you know, I picked something and ran with it, but, you know, over time, it changed, right? And so I'm going to read something out of the 12 and 12. And this is actually my mom's 12 and 12. I found it, and I felt like I had to bring it tonight. and so, you know, in step 11, the St. Francis prayer, I'm not going to read all of it, but, you know, it talks about where there's hatred, I may bring love. Where there's discord, I may bring harmony. Where there's wrong, I may bring the spirit of forgiveness. Where there's error, I may bring truth. Doubt, I may bring faith. You know, where there's darkness, I may bring light, right? And the way I perceive God and my higher power today is just a simple list of principles, right? Like when I'm faced with a decision, you know, do I want to, you know, go work with my sponsee and, you know, help him out, or do I want to sit on the couch and do nothing? You know, it's like, you know, am I bringing those, like, which way is the axiom tilting? Like, it's either tilting towards, you know, the selfishness, or it's tilting towards the selflessness, which is all those things. Like, bringing light into the darkness, like, bringing love into hatred. Like, it really is this selfless act. And the way I, like, define God's will in my mind is, you know, if I'm doing something for somebody else and I'm not the primary beneficiary, then that's probably God's will. Like, it really is as simple as that. Like, I need to make it concrete. Like, we were talking about this. I go to this black belt meeting on Monday. And we were talking about this, like, it needs to be black and white, because that gray area, that's where I live. Like, I love that gray area. Like, well, yeah, you can go to, like, 5 or 6 meetings. Like, okay, well, I'm going 5. Like, you know, like, no, it needs to be a set amount, a set example. And that's how I try to define this, like, whatever God's will is. It's just like, you know, Polo was talking about, like, bringing service into the workplace, right? And it's like, am I here to make money for myself, or am I here to bring some service and help somebody out and be available and, like, be a part of something bigger than myself? Like, I really try to look at it in a selfless kind of way, you know? And it's like, I think about acts, like, you know, if you go work out, like, if you do the stair stepper, you know, like, you gotta, me and Nick in this joke, we do the stair stepper, we try to compete, it's not really a competition, it kicks my ass, but it's like, that's something where, if I'm doing that for myself so I can look good and be the man and blah, 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 like, probably doing it for the wrong reasons, right? Like, what if I want to do it so I can be healthy, so I can, you know, come to meetings and be a part of something, or, you know, be a good father someday, like, be able to run around with my kids. Like, I try to take actions and move them towards this selfless line. Like, I'm doing this for somebody else. Like, I brought my roommate tonight, and it's like, I'm bringing him so, you know, I can help him, you know, like, so he doesn't have to waste gas, or, you know, I do the dishes at home, not for myself, but for, you know, my roommates, so they have a nice place to live, you know. And I'm a people pleaser, so I get burned out doing that. But, like, you know, naturally, it's like, that's the way I try to live my life, is this service first. You know, I love that Polo talked about the service piece of it. And, you know, I think the biggest piece of my sobriety is the 3 pillars that we talk about, right? Like, service, unity, and recovery. And I always try to, like, talk to sponsees or guys, like, young guys, like try to, like, explain, like, why we're doing this. And the one dude that we go to a meeting with, Matt, he explains it perfectly. It's like a 3-legged stool. And, like, if I'm not totally balanced, then I'm going to be, you know, I'm going to be wobbling. Like, I have to be in line with all those tactics. Like, I have to be service-driven. Like, I have to come to a meeting and, you know, be of service here. I have to be of service at work. Like, I have to be of service in so many areas of my life, not just at a meeting. Like, this is 1 hour a day. Like, there's 23 other hours, right? So I need to try to be of service, not here, but also elsewhere. And I think being of service is really important at first. Like, you can be of service. Like, I think about people that come at a turning point, and it's like, you know, I'm 30 days sober. Like, I don't, how am I going to be of service? Well, what about the guy that's, like, on day one, you know? Like, you just went through this whole experience, and you can help him, right? And so I think about it, like, it doesn't matter how much sobriety you have, like, you can be of service. Like, you can bring a positive energy into a meeting. Like, there's so many ways to be of service. I didn't have a service commitment for, like, the first 60 days, and so I would go to my home group meeting, which is the morning yamen meeting, and I would just wipe down the counter. And it's like, I just made up a service commitment because, like, I needed to be of service, you know? And it's like, it's shit like that. Like, I had to get creative. Like, I had to find ways to really get myself involved. And then the other piece, like, unity. Like, I really need to, one of my commitments for this black belt meeting I go to has been, like, to try to contact someone on a regular basis. Like, who's not my girlfriend, who's not my roommate, like somebody that is like I don't talk to regularly or like show up at meetings early and stay late. Like I have to be a part of this thing. You know, I remember going to a meeting one time and somebody was talking about like there's a difference between participation and attendance in Alcoholics Anonymous. Like my first 2 weeks that I explained, I was attending. Now I participate. Like I'm part of this thing. And doing that is, you know, for me, showing up early and like getting to know people, like getting numbers from people I don't, you know, I've never met before. Just like really being fully in the middle of the boat, right? Like that to me is unity, like staying in touch with people if I go out of town. Like I need to very much like continuously talk to people and keep this recovery in my mind because I will let it slip like that. You know, like give me a week out of town, no meetings, no book, no prayers. I'm right back to where I used to be. You know, it really is that simple in my mind. And then recovery, like recovery is such an important, like it's kind of an individual process, right? Like nobody sees the prayers you do before bed. Like nobody sees if you're reading. Like maybe you share it with somebody, but like it really is like this inside job, you know, this recovery piece of the stool, right? And it's hard, you know, because like I get out of the habit sometimes and I'm like, oh man, I should pray this morning, you know. But for me, I think it's, you know, we talk about these five things, like you need to pray, you need to, you know, read the book, you need to talk to somebody else, you need to go to a meeting. Like for me, I just try to encompass like five AA things. Like what if I just text somebody and see how their day's going? I'm saying, you know, AA, or I go get lunch with somebody in AA, or I find ways to get, you know, creative but black and white at the same time. Like did I do five things for AA today? You know, did I really like participate in my own recovery, or did I just kind of let a day go by? And it's really important to me because I see the compounding effect of like what happened, like what I was like when I first came in, and then like doing these things consistently over time, and like the result that produces is just like, just this inner joy, this peace, you know, this like free from needing alcohol. Like, I went to a Rays game on Tuesday. Well, anyway, but I was with a bunch of coworkers and they were all drinking. I could smell it, I could see it, but it wasn't there. And it was simply because I was doing the things that day for AA. And doing the things the day before, and doing the things the day before that, like continuously doing the program of Alcoholics Anonymous keeps me away from a drink. It keeps me away from even realizing it's there. Like it's not even appealing anymore. And it's, you know, it comes and goes, right? Sometimes I'm like, you know, I can get like so fixated on it, like being around one person that's drinking, and it just drives me nuts. But you know, so I'm not perfect, right? Like, I'm definitely not a perfect AA. You know, the one thing that my girlfriend, she's an AA, she, my least favorite question she asks me is, why don't you try to do it this way? And because for me, like, I'm not, I say I'm open-minded, but, like, try to get me to do it a different way, and I'm like, no, we're not doing that. Like, that is off the table. Like, I'm not doing that. So I definitely have a lot of growth to do in that area. You know, I think even though I try really hard to be like in the unity piece of it, like I definitely do struggle at times. Like I'm not perfect. You know, there's just a lot of areas that I can improve on. And I think it's awesome that like I go to this Wednesday men's meeting and there's guys in there with like 50 years of sobriety and they're talking about like, yeah, I'm just not done growing yet. And I'm like, wow, like, got 1 year, you know? Oh, I don't think I said my sobriety date. April 24th, 2023. So, I got that, I checked that box. You're welcome. And, you know, I think the last piece I want to talk about my program is I've tried to find ways to grow spiritually outside of AA. Like, I try to participate in the Sunday breakfast here. Again, my attendance is not perfect. I really have only been, like, four times, but it's something I really enjoy doing. Like, I love getting back. I love being of service in creative ways outside of it. I've started doing, like, a Bible study. I started going to church, you know, and these things aren't AA related, but it's helping me to grow spiritually. Like, I have to continuously seek. Like, because if I just, there's no just walking the steady path in Alcoholics Anonymous. For me, it's like I'm going uphill or I'm falling downhill. Like, and I have to continuously try to be working uphill. And trying to seek areas outside of that, like, has really helped me. Another piece I really love is, if you've never, you know, gotten involved in it and you're interested, like, general service is absolutely amazing. The first four meetings I went to, I was like, this is horrible. I got to spend 2 hours of my Sunday on this Zoom meeting. Like, it was, you know, I was looking at it the wrong way, you know? And then I went to this, like, area assembly and, like, was able to participate in Alcoholics Anonymous at the larger level and see, like, that my meeting was a part of, like, hundreds of meetings. And it was amazing for me. It was really, like, eye-opening. And I think, you know, what I would love, like, so me and my brother are both alcoholics, right? So if we have two kids each, like, there's, like, 100% chance one of them is an alcoholic, right? And so I try to think about it, like, I'm trying to preserve the, like, foundation of AA for the next generation, right? And I saw that at General Service. Like, that's the initiative. Like, that's the full, like, the focal point is, like, we want to continue to have these meetings available for people that need them. Maybe it be next week, next month, next year, 10 years. Like, I just want to be a part of keeping Alcoholics Anonymous, Alcoholics Anonymous. And like, having that purpose that it talks about in the fifth tradition, like, our primary purpose is to carry the message to the alcoholic who still suffers. Like, I just love, again, like, going back to the whole purpose thing, like, I didn't have a purpose for, like, so many years there. Like, coming in here and, like, being a part of something greater than myself was amazing. And so if you're new and you don't, like, see what everybody else sees, you know, that's okay, because I was there. Like, I get it. Like, it's hard. Like, I don't want to let go of this, like, grip of my life, you know? Like, I've just strangleholded it, you know? It's not alcohol, you know? And I love Sandy Beach tapes, you know? Somebody told me when I was, like, a couple weeks sober, like, hey, just go, like, binge Sandy Beach on YouTube. And I did that, and it just, like, it provided me that relief in early sobriety, because I was just so hell-bent my own ideas. Like, I'm just still strangleholding these, like, I live my life my own way, don't tell me what to do, you know? Like, even surrendering, it's like, even after that, I'm still, and even today, like, I still do that. Like, I still get these, like, mental relapses where I'm just, like, so mad at somebody or so fixated on something so small. And it's like having the tools available that Alcoholics Anonymous has provided me. One of my really good friends in AA, he wrote Life Manual on his big book. And I just think that's perfect, because it's given me the tools. The simple kit of spiritual tools were laid at my feet. I didn't want to pick them up for a little while, but when I did, like, my life really changed. I didn't get a new job. I didn't get a new apartment. I didn't, you know, get all these, like, crazy financial things. But what I got was a purpose, and I got peace inside of me. And I wouldn't trade that for the world. And so, you know, with that, like, I'll keep coming back. Thank you, guys.